Blog Talk Radio.
To the A New Day Show. I am your host, Daphne Clark Hudson, also known as the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I am so excited to be with you this morning, and I am broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut. And I just want, before I go into the housekeeping for this morning, I want to remind you to get your pens and pads, because you will be getting some very, very valuable information that you will want to jot down from our distinguished guest this morning. And I know he's already there waiting, but before I bring him on, I want to remind you that the chat room will be up. I haven't gone there yet. So if you're there in the chat room, just bear with me. I'm going to get there in a second. The call-in number is 646-915-8166. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And you can call in at any time during our conversation, so you can ask a question or make a comment or something. And if you're in the chat room, you can type your question, and then I'll be able to read it so our guests will know what your question is. Because here at the A New Day Show, I truly believe in interactive conversation, not only with the guests and myself, but we love to include the listeners. So again, I appreciate you for taking time out to be with us this morning. I want to just read something for you from one of my favorite devotional, and it is from Streams in the Desert. And for today, the summary portion reads, "The little birds trust God, for they go singing. From northern woods where autumn winds have blown, with joyous face they're on marked pathway winging to summer lands of song afar unknown. Let us go singing. Then and not go crying, since we are sure our times are in His hands. Why should we weep and fare and call it dying? It's merely flying to the summer land." And, you know, I decided to share this morning with you because there are us who are going through desert times, and we need to take this desert time and learn from that instead of crying and having pity parties. Just find out what lesson we can learn from that. And I know with the story that you'll hear from our distinguished guest this morning will prove to you that desert time pays off, and being persistent and believing in all the things that you do is worth the while. So, without any further delay, let me welcome my distinguished, esteemed guest, Mr. Jerry Long, founder of PCC Technology Group. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I am just so excited about having you on the show this morning because you are a gentleman that I admire and look up to a lot because you are the model of what success is about, and you have paid your dues, and I know we all can learn from you. So my guests are very honored and privileged to have you with us this morning. So I thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. We certainly look forward to the conversation this morning.
Great. It's a great pleasure. Let us start from the beginning. Would you like to please introduce yourself? I know we had you up on the blog for almost a month, and the listeners read about you. What tell them about your humble beginnings, Jerry?
Well, Daphne, I am a native Tennessean. I grew up in a place called Smyrna, Tennessee, which is about, a half an hour south of Nashville. I went to school at Rosenwald Elementary School, which was an all-black school. And I wanted to go to high school, and my parents wanted me to go to a school in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which was the all-black school. And I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to a better school. I wanted to go to a school that was in Smyrna, Tennessee. And so in 1964, me and two of my friends integrated to high school there. And we were, met with a lot of trepidation and a little bit of opposition, but we persevered, and I graduated from high school in 1968 at the age of 16, and then went on to Middle Tennessee State University, where I graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration in 1972. In 1970, however, as I was in college, I went to work for the local GE plant, and the local plant there was a manufacturer of motors that go into washing machines. So I was taking a course in information technology. It was called data processing way back then. And a professor told me to go to GE to get a job. And I'm saying, wow, they're not going to hire a little black guy from Smyrna, Tennessee. So I didn't go. But then about a year later, I decided to just go down there and check it out. So I went, and the guy who I was supposed to report to, his name was Aubrey Cole, I never forget it. He said he finally showed up. So I showed up for a job, and they taught me data processing, like I say, at the time. I learned how to become a computer programmer, and I worked for them for about 13 years. And after that, moved to Connecticut to work for Cigna Corporation. Actually, it was Connecticut General at the time. And I worked there for about 3 years, and was told that I needed to move to Philadelphia. Well, I didn't want to move to Philly at the time, but I decided to go to work for the Hartford Insurance Group, which is another insurance company here in the Hartford area. And I worked there for 4 or 5 years and got laid off. And at that point in time is when I decided that, I'm tired of the laying off and I'm tired of all of this stuff that's going on. Let me figure out some other things. So I decided to start a company. And I started my company in January of 1988, in the heart of one of the recessions.
My God. Jerry, I want to piggyback excuse me, on something you said about when your instructor sent you down for that job.
Okay.
And you decide, you fit yourself in a box and you say, oh, no, they're not going to hire little black boys. But
right.
Then there was that burning desire inside of you that said, I better follow through. And
I
when you turned
through.
Up, when you turn up, the employer said to you, you finally turn up. And that statement to me means that he was expecting you from way back then. And it
yes.
pointed to me that he had a relationship with your instructor who sent you down. And
yes.
I pointed that out to show people the importance of relationship, because he wasn't expecting a black boy. He was expecting a young man who his friend recommended.
Right. Right.
Isn't that powerful?
Absolutely. That's powerful. That's very powerful. And to that point, after I did finally turn up, the professor, he and I got together a little bit shortly after that. And, you know, he kind of told me that, you know, he thought that I eventually would go, even though I didn't know I would eventually go, but I guess he saw me that.
He believed in you.
He believed in me. And
yes.
That's how my my career sort of got started. In information
yes.
technology.
Yes. And I hope the listeners learn a lesson, because if they get nothing else out of our conversation today, Jerry, I want them to hold on to this, that when somebody believes in you, follow through, even when you don't believe in yourself.
Right.
And
absolutely.
There's somebody that believes in you, follow through. Because you can be a Jerry Long. You
can be
a Jerry Long. Yes. You know, because way back then, he didn't believe in himself. He just saw himself as a little black boy.
Yeah, that was it. And that was all I saw myself as. And, you know, it, as it turned out, it was a lot more than that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Look at what that professor or that instructor, to look at what he has produced for the rest of the world to be benefited. Because, listeners, I want you to understand that although Jerry is in Hartford, Connecticut, Jerry's expertise is impacting people across the globe. So he is no little small fry. So just listen up and learn from his story. So thank you so much, Jerry, for sharing that about your humble beginning, because there's a lot of people out there who needed to hear this story. Because even adults, there are a lot of adults now who hold on to the stigma of color.
Yes.
And the stigma of gender. And they hold
yes.
it on as crutches why they cannot make a success. But I'm telling them to strip themselves of all of that and let us all make a difference in this world that we live in. Because if we decide we want to make a difference, we will.
That's absolutely correct, Daphne.
Yes, and you decided to start this little company back in 1998.
1988,
excuse me. And back then, as you said, it was one of the recessions going on, yet you decided, I'm going to start me a company because I'm tired of being laid off. I'm tired of being told I have to move to go somewhere else. Forget about the recession. I'm stepping out and I'm following through on what I know way back when was data processing. What were
That's
some
right.
of the objections? What objections you faced then, Jerry, when you decided you were going to start a company?
Well, there was many, many, many objections. One of the real objections was me going out and you know, doing sales, and I had to learn everything. You know, I knew data processing, but I didn't know anything else about real business. I mean, when you go to back then, when you went to business school, they taught you how to work for somebody else, and they didn't. I didn't really have a chance to go to a entrepreneurial class. So, you know, I was really into working for someone else. So what I had to do was to learn how to work for myself, and I had to learn how to become disciplined. I had to learn how to become as forthright as I could. I really had to learn how to deal with people, and that was one of the real issues that I really had to deal with. However, I think I was able to, you know, pretty much overcome those significant issues and begin the process of really building a business, being able to at least say that, you know, here's an opportunity for me to actually go out and create something of value that is really going to, you know, catapult me for the rest of my life. And that was what I was able to do. I was able to go out and create those opportunities for myself. And when you create those opportunities for yourself, nobody can really tell you how much money you can make. I mean, you can make as much money as you want to make when you're in business for yourself. So there were some significant struggles and challenges as I started the company in a recessionary time. And one of those, a couple of those things that was really quite interesting was being able to understand, number one, what kind of business was I in. But as I first started, I was selling computers out of the trunk of my car. And I was teaching contractors, electrical, plumbers, you know, all of those kind of people, how to use a computer to make their business a lot more efficient. And I was able to create spreadsheets for those guys that allowed them to, you know, track their payroll, track their direct costs, track their indirect costs, and be able to show them how, if they're making a profit or not. Because a lot of those guys didn't know whether they're making a profit or not. They were, you know, they were doing the very good at being a contractor. I mean, you know, you talk to some of these guys, they could be the best plumbers in the world. But they had no clue about whether or not they were making money. So I kept, you know, I would always ask that question, are you making money? You know, and, you know, I'd gotten a good relationship with these guys by that time. And they would say, yeah, we're making money. But then I would show them a report and say that they're not making money. So
making any money.
You know, and they were not making any money. So that was a real eye-opener for them and a real eye-opener for me. And I was able to leverage that into moving more into providing solutions to our customer. So as I said, I first started out selling to that market, and then I wanted to kind of show people how to use computers because back in the day, nobody knew how to use a personal computer. You know, Microsoft Windows was not even out by then. So when Windows came out, I started a training piece showing people how to use Microsoft Windows. And I got a contract with the state of Connecticut to show folks those products. And, you know, I was able then to, you know, hire a few people and create some value in the marketplace that was really, you know, quite strong. You know, created quite quite a brand. And it was really quite strong at that time. So that really worked well for me. And as I matriculated through that, about 1993-94, by the time people were getting out of college at that time, they already knew how to use Windows. They already knew how to use Microsoft Word. They already knew how to use Excel and PowerPoint and all of those things. So my business went down the hill. So I said, well, I've got to do something else, so what am I going to do? Well, I decided that I was going to offer clients the kind of services that I provided when I was working for GE, and I didn't tell the whole GE story. Let me go back to that GE story a little bit. I started out in the appliance motor division, and like I said, we were making motors that ran washing machines and dryers and that kind of thing. But then after about 3 years, I went into their information technology. I went into the information technology division. I stayed there for about 18 months. And then I went into the healthcare division. And in the healthcare division, what we did was we had one customer, and that one customer was Hospital Corporation of America. And once Hospital Corporation of America would buy a hospital, they'd send the healthcare team, the GE healthcare team, out to implement systems in that new hospital. So we were building systems for those new hospitals. So fast forward to 1994, when I figured out that my training business was dying, I said, well, let me go back on this crutch that I've used all the time that I know something about and begin to offer customers those kind of solutions. So in 1994, we started, well, actually, we transitioned the training company into a solutions company, where we provide solutions to those same customers that I already had. And I didn't want to go out and get any new customers. I didn't know how to do that. So I started providing solutions to state governments. And that has worked out very well for us. And we've expanded on that now to where we offer those same kind of services to both state government customers as well as, you know, commercial customers as well.
Yes. You know, Jerry, I remember the first time that I had a meeting with you and actually met you in person. I was out with D-Ron Franklin and everything, and I remember quite clearly in summarizing your conversation in that meeting, you said, anything I'm going to do has to do with computers. That's what I am, and that's what I know best.
That's what
and
I know best.
And now that now I see the reason why you say that. And, you know, a lot of times people are in jobs or occupation, and they do a tacky job. And I'm going to tell you this morning, stop that. Do the best you can while you are there, because the skills that you are picking up there may just be that skill that will catapult you when you are no longer there. Because suppose you had not done a good job while you were at that GE place, Jerry. You would not be able to go back to harness those things to serve your clients.
That's
but
absolutely
you had
correct.
A pool. Yeah, you had a pool of resources that there's no way you could go down, no matter who's coming out of college and what they learn. You had enough creativity in which to still serve and retain your customers. Oh, that's just amazing.
Yeah, and that piece was really, really quite pleasing in that, you know, I kept the same customers. I just went to them and said, you know, we're offering a whole new service now. And, you know, will you buy this service? That's kind of the way I did it.
That's right.
And that, as it turned out, they were looking for that.
That's right. You were able to do that, Jerry, because you were not only interested in taking their monies, you were interested in building a relationship with them from the beginning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They trusted you and they loved you. And if you had gone up to them in Alaska and selling them ice cube, they would have bought it because they love and trusted you. And that's what we need to do. Go ahead.
That's absolutely right. And I was in a meeting yesterday, and, you know, I was telling one of the guys in the meeting that, you know, my whole objective is to sell. And he said, well, you know, if you're in a meeting with all of these CEOs, how do you do that? I said, well, you just don't do it right away. You create relationships.
That's
you know, and the relationships may mean that you take them to a basketball game or a baseball game, or you go out on their sailboat, or you play golf with them. And, you know, maybe a year or two down the road, you'll get the opportunity to make a sale. You know, I'm not trying
That's
to sell for right now. I'm never trying to sell for tomorrow. I'm always selling a year, 2 years away.
That's right.
And if I can continue to do that, I think I'll be successful.
Exactly. Because people see that, hey, he's interested in my checkbook. He's interested in and in value to my vision and mission. And this is what a lot of small business owners and entrepreneurs face. They meet you today at a meeting or a mixer, And tomorrow they call us in for contracts. And the people don't know you. They just met you last night.
But
you have to know about building relationships. You know,
that is so important.
You mentioned about golf, and I was laughing because we had a gentleman at our church. We used to call him Little Tiger. And he was teaching golf as one of his small groups. So I signed up for the golf. And he said to me, oh, I don't know how you're going to hold the golf clubs with those nails and everything. So I said, coach, I just need to know how to hold it so I could take a client out, because I can get 6 hours out on the golf course versus 3 hours and 30 minutes in his office, his or her office. So he was laughing so hard.
That is absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't want to play no tournament. I just need to take the CEO out on the golf course, and we're going to be out there for 6 hours having a great conversation. If I call his secretary for an appointment, I'm getting 30, maybe 45 minutes max. So
that's it.
I still. So, you know, you have shared your story so well and so eloquently, and show people the importance of believing in yourself, building a relationship, and even when you get knocked down, how you got up.
Yes, yes. And I've gotten knocked down several times. I mean, I always get, seems like I always get brought back to earth every couple of years. I mean, my business is, you know, business cycles are always like a roller coaster. You know, they go up and then they go down. I mean, I was up, I was down in 05, I was up in 06 and 07 and 08, and now I'm down in 09. So, you know, it's that whole roller coaster ride that you go through in a whole business cycle, and you got to be able to understand that. You got to be able to plan for that. You got to be able to deal with it.
That's right. That's right. But the one thing, even when the times get tough, when you know that you know that what you're doing is adding value and making a difference in other people's lives, and that you are indeed operating in your true purpose, then you don't worry. You know it's a cycle and that your time will bloom again. So just keep believing. Don't revamp what you're doing. Keep believing and keep adding more tools in your toolkit. That's the time when you start gathering more resources and more information. So when the cycle comes around again, you are ready to really do your best.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a case in point to that is this past, I think it was March, you know, the recession was on us and we were struggling a little bit. I mean, we couldn't win any new business. And you know, I called all of my people into the conference room and I said, look, you know, I'm not going to lay anybody off. We're going to, you know, take some furlough days and we're going to, you know, do some things that's not really kind of natural for us because, you know, we've always been, you know, pretty good in terms of making money. But, you know, and folks were really appreciative to know that, you know, their jobs were going to be okay because a lot of companies have, you know, as you know, in this environment have laid off a lot of people. And one of the things that you said was very important in that we know that once the economy turns around, I'm going to need those same folks again to do work for me. So I hold on to them. I'm holding on to them. And I want to make sure that I keep my good folks, keep all the folks that I have, so that when the turnaround does happen, you know, I don't have to go out and hire a whole bunch of new people all over again and do all this training for them so that you know, we can continue to deliver the kind of services that we provide to our customer base. And that's very important to me to ensure that, you know, we treat every customer as if they're our only customer.
That's right. And the other thing, Jerry, what I just picked up from what you say here now, your staff, your entire staff, hearing that from you, they're not only employees, but they are seeing themselves as stakeholders, because they are saying, here is Jerry in a time of recession, not taking food out of my family's mouth, nor taking a roof from over my family's head, but he's been flexible and creative in holding on to us. They are always going to be giving you their best plus.
Absolutely.
Because they see
absolutely.
That you care about them. And this
yeah,
is
absolutely.
Why, you know, when we invest in a person's intellectual capital, we show them, we love them, are interested in them, they are committed to us for the rest of their lives. And that's one dividend that's not going to fall. It is always going to be on the rise, because even those spouses, Jerry, and those children, they are going to remember the good that you have done for their family during a time of recession.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely right there. Absolutely right there. And I see that all the time. I see, you know, folks coming into the office and, you know, very dedicated folks doing their job, doing their thing, and we really are appreciative of them, and we want to make sure that we, you know, we handle them as they've handled us. I mean, they provide us
yes.
with a good service, and we want to make sure that we provide them with the kind of lifestyle that they need, and try to keep
yes.
going forward with that.
Yes, you know, that, I tell you, Jerry, not too many CEOs could come on this radio show and speak that about their staff, because a lot of them just think about the bottom line, and what am I going to do? Nobody cares about the people who are producing the bottom line. But
right.
until you start showing some interest how valuable these employees are for you, you're really not in business. Because
yeah, absolutely.
They're just going to hear that there's going to be a snowstorm. There is none yet. But they're not coming in because they know you really don't care about them. But if they know that you care, that car would be buried on the 30-foot of snow, and they're going to be digging it out to be on the job, and that's how dedicated they are to you. And,
yes.
you know, that this just speaks volume about the person you are, Jerry, and the kind of organization you run. And I am so proud to know you and to be learning from you about these things.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. It has been a struggle. It's always a struggle, but we seem to pull through it, and we seem to, you know, do okay in the meantime.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember, I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago, you invited me to a conference, and I went to that conference, and I was in conversation with one of the gentlemen, because this was the first time I was going to the conference. And I just expressed, I don't know why, but during the conversation with the gentleman, I said, you know, I am so thankful to Mr. Long for inviting me. And he looked at me with sparkles in his eyes, Jerry, and he said to me, you know Jerry Long? I said, yes. And he only had praises to sing for you. And now I see why everybody holds you in such great high esteem, because your life is not about you. Your life is about others and making a difference in their life, Jerry. And that's just such a wonderful way to be.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, one of the things I always try to do is I grew up in the church, and, you know, you got to treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, if you do that, I think you'll be okay. And you know, I was always mm-hmm. taught to treat people with respect and treat people, you know, the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
And if you do that, you'll be okay.
That's right. That's right. Show some love. Show some love. Show some
absolutely.
Love. Absolutely. Well, let us talk about how does it feel to be so very successful. When you sit back and you reflect on that little black boy in Tennessee, mama wants him to go to this school, and he's kind of strong-headed with his friends. He said, no, we want to go to this school. As you look back over the journey, how do you feel, Jerry?
Well, it does feel good. But, you know, everybody says that I'm successful, but I really don't know what that really means. I guess I define my success in in a whole lot of different ways, and you
yes.
know, having a successful business is certainly one of the things that I, you know, consider to be successful. But, you know, you've got to have balance there too, and you know,
yes.
you've got to be able to balance that with my family life. And you know, I like to go out and be with my grandkids, and love to go out and, you know, my wife and I go on a lot of trips, and you know, just getting away mm-hmm. with some good quality time is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And we mm-hmm. got to really find that balance where, you know, you got to balance between your home life and your
yes.
business life and everything else that you do. But it seems
yes.
like sometimes that I'm, you know, with the success, I'm never home. You know, I start work probably at 7:30 in the morning, and I mean, I finish at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's always, you know, a meeting after a meeting after a meeting after a meeting, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they go on all day, and it could be a dinner at night with somebody that I'm trying to have a relationship with. So just trying to
yes.
find that balance
yes.
is really, really balance. Important, and
mm-hmm.
it's always a challenge, you know, to really find that balance.
Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that you're aware of it, because there
mm-hmm.
are some people who are going through the challenge and they are not aware of it, so the challenge tend to take control of them. But, you know, you just mentioned about taking trips with your wife. You are taking control of the challenge. You know it exists, and you ask,
yes.
how am I going to best deal with it? And the grandchildren are seeing you, your wife is seeing you, the children are seeing you, and their spouses are seeing you. So you are not neglecting your family. And I know, Jerry, that you run a very peaceful, successful, happy enterprise. Because I'm saying that because when I walk in your office, I really, if I didn't know you, I wouldn't know who is Jerry Long and who are the employees.
Right.
Because everybody is kind of equal. I know they probably have different job descriptions and so, but everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. I don't see any long faces there. And people are just so happy. And I was saying to myself, people love working at this place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got a pretty good organization here where, you know, I don't have any, you know, set rules of when people got to come to work or when they go home, anything like that. But one of the things I do expect is I expect the work to be done. And
right.
with that happening, you know, I don't have a whole lot to say to anybody. If they, you know, if the work is getting done, what can I say? I mean, I'm just
that's
making
right.
sure that everything gets done in such a way that we are being able to satisfy our customers. And as we continue to go through this business and continue to satisfy those customers, we just want to make sure that, you know, we do the right thing. And if we're doing the right thing, then everything else will fall in place. And having an employee who is, you know, happy like that is really kind of a joy now because, I mean, it has not always been that way. You know, I know I used to, you know, be very close to the vest about, you know, financing and customers and all of that, and now what we do is we share a lot of that information with our employees, so that they know whether or not we're making money, they know whether or not we're losing money because their bonuses are tied to that, and they also know that when they're working on a project and they know that say it costs $10, then if we can bring the project in for $5, there's $5 that everybody's going to share. So that piece really has changed the whole culture of this organization. And I really, you know, credit, you know, our whole management team of coming up with that philosophy of being able to share information, because that piece has really, really helped our organization.
That's right. And you have a very diverse workforce, too. And that's another thing that I truly respect you for, Jerry. It's just amazing. I tell you, I don't think you know how much, you know, coming in there and just looking around and see how people operate. Because I read people a lot, and I tell you, you run an amazing, amazing place there. I want to remind the listeners that they can call in at their convenience. I want to welcome the people in the chat room and somebody listening to what you said, Jerry, and they said, wow, that means they are really getting a bang here this morning. They are really excited about the information that you are sharing. And I want to let them know that whenever they have questions, go ahead and type it, and I'll relate to Jerry. And the number to call in if you want to call on the telephone is 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with Mr. Jerry Long, founder and CEO of PCC Technology Group, headquarters in Bloomfield, Connecticut. Okay, Jerry. We are back here, and I am just so excited about all the things that we are talking about this morning, and to see that the listeners themselves are also learning a lot from that. What would you say to that person who is sitting down and saying, well, you know, I have real skills and talents, but I don't have the support to get started? What would you say to that person, Jerry?
Get the support you need to get started. That's what I would say. And whatever that means, and I don't know, you know, I don't know the, wouldn't know the specific situation, but I know that, and let me tell you this funny story. When I first started my business, I had just gotten married, and my wife had thought that she was marrying a man that was carrying a briefcase who had a real job, and then 3 months after that, I, you know, got laid off. So what had happened was, you know, she was very supportive. I mean, I'm not going to say that she was not. She was extremely supportive, and that's what's really, you know, I think catapulted me to become the person that I am. And I want to give her all the thanks for that, and that she supported me, I mean, both mentally and financially and every other way during the first few lean years, because, you know, when you first start a business, there's no money. There's nothing there.
No, Lord,
I mean, you really got to be able to create your own way. So I had some very good support in that regard, and I would not have been able to do it without the support that I had. So if there is a person in the audience who does not have the support, you got to find a way to get it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't know what that really means, but you got to find a way to get that support.
You know, sometimes, Jerry, you know, and I agree with what you say. And based on my experience, sometimes you're not going to have the support. But when you really know that what you're doing is your calling and purpose, you have to keep doing it and let others start believing in you. You have to believe in your vision. Know that
right.
It is yours. Because in the beginning, it's not really for anybody else to believe, because God gave it to you. So you got
right.
to go out there and work with what he gives you until everybody starts believing in you. Because in our society, people are only accustomed to the norms, and they are not flexible to accept or appreciate anything that is outside those four walls. So if you didn't become the traditional teacher, policeman, and so on and so forth, and you talking about becoming an entrepreneur, they think you're crazy.
Oh, yes. Even my parents thought I was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Everybody asked me, up till now they asked me, well, why don't you get a real job with some benefits? You know, you're getting older, you're going to need benefits. And people do not understand about your purpose and your calling and your passion. When God gives that to you, if you don't really do that, it's like we're moving a fish out of the ocean and expecting them to live in a chicken coop.
That's absolutely correct.
They cannot survive in a chicken coop because they were not created for that. They got to survive in the ocean. And that's what entrepreneurship is all about.
That's absolutely right. And to that point, when I first started my company, I know my father especially would ask me, you know, you used to have this job that was paying pretty well. You had a good job.
Yeah.
And now you don't have a good job. Why don't you go out and find you another job?
Well,
I don't think I want another job. I think I want to do something else. And he didn't really understand that. He really did not understand that, but that's okay. I mean, he eventually understood it, and he understands it now.
Yes.
And as I was able to take him on a vacation this past summer, him and my mom, who are 87 and 86 respectfully, I took them on a vacation, and you know, he got ready to give me some money to pay me for the vacation. I said, well, I'll just put your money in your pocket. I'll pay for it. And that that kind of blew him away.
Yes, my God, my God.
That kind of made him feel very good.
Yes, and that just affirmed what I said, Jerry, about us doing what God wants us to do until we convince people to believe in us. Because
that's
if
right.
we give up, they're just going to say, well, I know she couldn't make it anyhow. You know, who was she trying to fool? But you
right.
stuck it out, and you surprised your papa. And
yes,
now
yes,
he's
I
going
did.
Back home to talk about, oh, my boy. Because you're still his boy, Jerry, don't matter how old you are. My boy covered that entire trip. And everybody in Tennessee going to be learning about his boy.
Yeah, well, I think he's probably told all his friends already. At least that's what my mom says. So.
Oh, yeah. Because he knew you were doing well, Jerry, but you just put the icing on the cake when you paid for this trip. No, he really got it.
Yeah, I think he really got it now. He really knows that, you know, the business is doing okay and, you know, can afford the kind of lifestyle that I really want to live, and I'd like to be able to share it. You know, I want to be able to share
it with
my family.
That's right.
So that has worked out extremely well.
Good. Now he knows you don't really need a good job no more.
Right. I don't need the kind of job that he, you know. And you know, and back in the day, you know, you'd go to work for the post office or somebody like that, and you worked there until you got a gold watch. But, you know, there was no gold watch for me out there, and I just had to figure out what I needed to do in order to, you know, to be successful.
Yeah. And, you know, we love our relatives and our friends because we know they love and care about us, but, you know, They just have to know. They have to just love us and let us be what God created us to be. But
right,
they don't
right.
mean,
let us do what
they
we
don't
need
mean
to do.
Any harm. Yeah, they just don't want
well,
to us get hurt.
I know.
Okay.
I know. You're absolutely right.
Oh, my heavens. It's, you know, this. Not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur, and we know that. And the people who have to work the jobs, we understand that too. And, you know, we just love to have the right people that support us.
Right.
Now,
absolutely.
Jerry, what keeps you grounded in all that you do?
My church keeps me grounded. It keeps me humble. It keeps me waking up every morning knowing that I need to continue to do the things that I'm doing so that I can continue doing the things that I'm doing. But I think my church, like I said, keeps me grounded. And I said a little bit before that I, you know, I grew up in the church, and I knew that I would, you know, continue to be a God-fearing man, and you know, that has played a significant part in my life, and it continues to play a significant part in my life. I am I'm on the executive committee at the church, and I'm a deacon at the church, and you know, I, you know, pretty much, you know, keep that focus. But the other thing that really kind of keeps me pretty grounded is a game. And that game is the game of golf. That kind of keeps me, keeps my feet on the ground. And, you know, I got these three guys that I've been playing with for about 20 years now. And, you know, every Saturday we go out and we play a game of golf. And, you know, one guy works at City Hall in Hartford, and another guy works for an insurance company, and another guy is an entrepreneur himself. So, you know, we all kind of, you know, have started playing golf together when my wife gave me a set of golf clubs for Father's Day. And we all kind of, you know, picked up golf clubs back then and have not put them down.
you know, Jerry, I think I'll have to have you back on the show to talk about how to sustain meaningful relationships.
Okay.
Because you are a true example of maintaining relationships. Honestly, man, you're a good businessman too, but, you're an expert on relationships. And I'm going to have you back on here to talk to us about that sometime down the road.
Okay. I'd enjoy that. Yeah. But you know, like I said, I've maintained a relationship with those guys for at least 20 years, and yeah, you know, we've been playing this whole game of golf for about 20 years now, and actually a little over 20 years. We talked about it the other day, and you know how long we've been playing, and you know what really got us started. So that's really been a blessing in my life, and you know that's, you know, pretty much, you know, answers the question of, you know, what really keeps me grounded. I'd say it's my church and my golf buddies.
Yes. Because, you know, I'm so excited about what you said, Jerry, because I'm extremely spiritual as well. And as I was talking to one of my minister friends this morning, and I said to her, you know, all I got really is my faith. I don't have anything else. That's what gets me up in the morning, and it doesn't matter what life hits me with, Jerry. I can always turn to my faith, and to know that I can have the triumph over that. Mm-hmm. And it is great to have to know that. People have to know that they cannot take control of themselves. They have to know that God is in control. And sooner or later, they come to accept that.
Absolutely.
And we are not here preaching to anybody. But I tell you, if there's somebody who is listening this morning, and you really do not have your spiritual life in control, you need to get that, because that's priority.
When
co-workers, when friends, when spouses and that will turn against you, even your children, God is not going to turn against you, and He always has your back. So I was glad to hear that, Jerry, you are another gentleman that has your life in priority order. And you share that with us this morning to know that that's what we need to do as well.
Yes, I really firmly believe that.
Jerry, if I ask you to give a checklist to all the entrepreneurs and small business owners who are listening, and, you know, as a matter of fact, even some CEOs as well, who is listening now and who will listen later on to this episode on demand, about sticking it out in You've been knocked down several times. You get up and you keep going. What would that list look like? What are some nuggets you could give us to hold on to?
Well, I think that list would look like you really got to think about perseverance, and you really got to think about your whole purpose in life and being able to ensure that you continue to focus on what that purpose in life is going to be. And, I think that the Creator put us here all here for a purpose. And like you said before, everybody's not meant to be cut out to be an entrepreneur. And I understand that. But the checklist, I think, would be to, make sure that, you take care of your customers. You got to be able to do that. That's the most important thing that I think that you can do in being an entrepreneur. You got to take care of your customers. And that means... And that could come into a whole different kinds of ways. You gotta, you gotta see them. You gotta talk to them. You gotta make sure that they're comfortable. You gotta make sure that they are happy. You gotta make sure that you can continue to do business with them. So I think that taking care of the customer is probably the foremost thing that you can do. I think the second thing is you gotta make sure that you take care of your employees. And that's probably a 1 and a 1A. And I don't know which one is first. 1A, and taking care of your employees, and I think we've talked about that a little bit prior to this, being able to take care of your employees and making sure that they do the kind of things that you want them to do, and that they will give you the kind of things that you're looking for from them. So taking care of your employees is something that is very, very significant as well. The other thing, I think, is being able to ensure that you continue to provide a quality product. I mean, you think that would be number one, but I think taking care of your employees and taking care of your customers is probably a little bit more important than providing a quality product, even though that's probably a 1C if you look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that, that you do what you say, what you do. Your product is gonna, it's gonna work, and it's gonna work every time. Make sure that, when you tell the customer that this is what's gonna happen, that's what's gonna happen, and it does happen that way. So I think that if we look at those, three things, and there's probably, 10 or 12 more things that I could add on to that, that could be applicable here in this example. But I think if we, start out and start thinking about making sure that we take care of our customers, take care of our employees, and make sure we provide a quality product, then I think everything else really kind of falls into place. And everything else is really kind of hung off of those three prongs, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Being able to ensure that, that you're doing the right thing. You're creating the kind of value that is going to allow you to, take care of your customers, and creating the kind of value that's going to allow you to take care of your employees, and creating the kind of value stream that allows you to really kind of, provide that whole quality product to that customer. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I like when you mentioned about making sure you do what you say you're going to do. And that's important because our word is our bond.
That's it.
It doesn't
matter. That's all you have.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you say you're going to do this, make sure that's what you do, because people are not going to remember the thousand of good things you did prior. That
that's
one
right.
thing that you didn't follow through on is what they are going to remember you by. So those are very, very powerful things, Jerry. And I want to thank you so much. We are at the approximately at the half-hour mark, Jerry. We have, I know you have a meeting, and you'll have to cut out a certain time. So you let me know when you have to cut out. We are at the 1 hour mark, and I'm having a good time, and I just hope that I hope that you are having a good time as well.
Having a great time.
I remember in the beginning in the introduction spoke when you were selling computers out the trunk of your car, and you use it to help those plumbers understand whether or not they were really making money. Now you have advanced it to this high-tech business. How can entrepreneurs and small business owners begin to utilize technology to advance their business, Jerry?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of significant things that a business owner can do to enhance his presence, enhance his profitability, enhance his whole business. And, you know, just by nature of smartphones, I mean, I'm sitting here now with, I just got a new phone myself that allows me to surf the internet or get my email and, you know, do all the things that we can do in that regard. So, you know, just having that kind of technology allows you to be a lot more productive. And having this kind of technology really kind of allows me now to go away and not have to be tied down to my desk. And one guy told me a long time ago, he said, Jerry, you can't make any money sitting behind your desk. So I've always been a guy that, you know, you call me on my office phone and I'm probably never here because I can't make any money here.
Right.
I got to be out meeting people. And, you know, technology allows you to get out and do the kind of things that you need to do where you don't have to be tied behind your desk. And so we use a lot of technology in our organization that allows us to do those kind of functions. Another thing I think that could be very, very helpful is to be, you know, to take a few business courses. I mean, it doesn't really hurt to know what a debit and a credit is and to be able to know what a little marketing is and know what, you know, a little sales process is. And if you're going to be that entrepreneur, make sure that, you know, you do it in such a way that allows you to continue your learning process. You know, I go to a lot of seminars, and here again, I had invited you to one about 3 weeks ago. And so I do a lot of that. I do a lot of continuing education, I guess you'd call it, because you've got to continue to be up on what's in the marketplace. And you gotta kind of know what, well, you not kind of know, you need to know what your competitors are doing. You need to know what your value proposition is. You need to know how to continue to build that value proposition. And you need to continue to, you know, keep recreating yourself. And that's something that we've been pretty successful in, is continue to recreate ourselves. Even though, you know, we had gone through a transition from being a training company to a solutions company, we kind of reinvented ourselves in that regard. You know, we went so far as to change the name of the company to do that reinvention. So for what you have, what you're doing right now is not really working, then, you know, you may ought to consider, you know, doing something else. You know, and I'm not saying get out of business, but I'm saying, you know, maybe start to sell a different product or offer a different service. Because, you know, if you can continue to, you know, build the business and grow the business and do those kind of things, that's what's really important, and that's what really can make you satisfied in your overall relationship there, and continue to do those kind of things is always a good thing. So I'd say being able to reinvent yourself is probably one of the key things there that you do, and the way you reinvent yourself is to continue that whole education process, which could mean that, like I said before, you may have to go take a marketing class, or you may have to go take a QuickBooks class, or, you know, learn a little bit of accounting, or, you know, learn a little bit of a marketing, and learn a little economics, because it all comes to play in running a business.
That's right.
You know, and here again, I think just being able to create relationships and talk to people. I remember about 6 months ago, I went to talk to a guy who runs an excavation company, and one of my sales guys had found this guy, and he said that, you know, maybe we should try to help this guy get some work at a local water company here. And you go into the guy's shop and you see all of these tractors and caterpillar things in his yard in the back. And, you know, he said that he needed some financing. So I said, okay, well, let me introduce him to my banker. So I called the banker. Actually, I was playing golf with the banker a couple of days later. He's my guy. So I said, look, I've got this guy. He's going to call you. So I was talking, you know, to the banker, and I said, well, you know, here's this guy. He's got a business. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's got all of this equipment, but he needs a little financing. So I gave the guy the banker's telephone number, and the guy was scared to call him. He said, Jerry, I've never dealt with a banker before. I said, well, you got to start to learn, you know, how to do some of these things, because nobody else is going to do it for you.
That's right. That's right.
And if you can do it for yourself, you know, I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink.
Can't let you drink. That's right.
You know, I can introduce you to the guy that I've got my line of credit through.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I have a great relationship. I mean, a relationship such that, you know, he's my golf buddy now, and, you know, I go to his mm-hmm. private club, and we play on his private mm-hmm. club. So, you know, you got to be able to not be afraid. I guess that's what it is. I really don't know what that was about, but this guy was
Jerry.
Literally afraid.
Yeah, but you see what happened, Jerry? This guy just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the power of relationship. He has nothing to fear. He was not going there to ask for an appointment. You already had paved the way for him to go in. He just needs to turn up.
That's all he needs to do is turn up.
And he doesn't understand that. So he needs to go out and start mingling some more so he understands about the power of relationships.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right there.
Yes.
And here again, I just did not understand why, you know, I've already talked to the banker. The banker's expecting his call. He's expecting the guy to come over and meet with him. And the guy just didn't turn up. He just did not turn up.
He just went back to you, Jerry, when you were in school, when the instructor sent you down, way back those years. That's
yes.
where that man just took me back. You know, so he needs some work, and he need a mentor, a coach to help coach him. You better give him my number so I can coach him. I'm telling you, he has to understand because, yeah, people have to get out of their comfort zone, and a lot of times our fears paralyzes us
mm-hmm.
into failure because
mm-hmm.
we have to understand that, listen, collaboration and relationship is very vital to our successes in life.
Yes.
I want to
yes.
remind
yes.
the callers to call in. Let us hear from you. You can call the number 646-915-8166. If you have any question for Mr. Jerry Long, any question at all you want to ask him, you can call up. If he can't answer, I know him. He will say, well, I don't know the answer to that. But let us hear from you. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with Mr. Jerry Long, founder and CEO of PCC Technologies. Now, Jerry, you know, I am just so excited about the utilizing technology because I used to do a traditional radio show, and I did that for 18 or 19 months, I think. And now I found this new love of doing the radio show on the Internet, and I'm so thankful about embracing technology because it helps me to be able to reach out to guests wherever they are. I've had guests from the Bahamas. I'm now talking to somebody in Australia to have them on. And now you are in the comfort of your office in Hartford, and here I am talking with you. And I know when I was doing traditional, if you had to carve out the time to come down to it would have been a challenge. So just this alone shows that embracing and harnessing technology is a good thing.
Absolutely. And the technology that's used in this broadcast is really quite fascinating. It allows me to sit in the comforts of my office, as you said. It allows you to sit wherever you're sitting down in Milford. And mm-hmm. we're broadcasting over the Internet, and nobody has to go anywhere. And we as
nobody
a company...
Nobody has to go.
Right. We as a company now conduct certain meetings this way, where, you know, we may be sitting in our conference room giving a demonstration to a customer or a potential customer without having to go get on an airplane and travel to where they are to give them that formal presentation. So it allows us mm-hmm. to cut our costs in that regard, and it allows us to provide a service to our potential customer base that, you know, would really have cost us a lot of money in terms of doing the presentation. And it also helps us talk about technology. We've got a company in India now. We bought a company in India in November of last year. And this company is it's a significant firm over there. But what we're doing is we're utilizing technology to communicate with those guys without even having to go over there. Now, not to say that I don't go over there, I do. But it allows us to be able to communicate with them, to look at schematics and look at drawings and look at database designs and look at all the things that we need to have for our business without having to go over there. So what it allows us to do is, you know, I've got a phone number over there that is an 860 phone number. So if I wanted to India, it's an 860 phone number.
That's right. You are not dialing overseas. It's just a
local
number.
No, not dialing overseas. It's just like dialing a regular number.
Right here.
So
yes,
that allows us
amazing.
To cut down on our costs, and it allows us to continue to provide that service to the customer, which, like I said before, is the most important thing that we can do.
Yes, it's just amazing. Jerry, what's your take on the social media network?
Well, you know, we have, as a company, not really embraced it yet. And I guess, I know the reason we haven't embraced it is because we don't understand how we can utilize it to our benefit yet. But we are looking at how we, as a company, can utilize it to our benefit. And we just haven't gotten to that point yet. We hope to get to that point very, very shortly, but like I said, here again, we just haven't gotten to that point yet. But I do believe that there are some significant opportunities there. We just don't know what they are yet.
Yes. And I
from a personal standpoint, I think that, you know, I think it's a great thing. But here again, how do we utilize it for business? We just don't know that yet.
Right. And I know that because yesterday, I know you are on quite a few of the ones that I'm on personally, not as a company, but as an individual. And I was able to go there and just send the notice out that you're going to be on the show. And, you know, whether people got the opportunity to be listening now or later, they know that we are one of them, and they will go back and listen to the episode at another time, and that's one of the things that I love about that, you know, building the relationship. I myself am now too looking on how to convert these relationships into business opportunities, because I have gathered quite a few relationships on the social media, and I want to see how can I tie them into what I am now doing, and how can I add value to what they are doing regardless of where they are, and how they can add value to what I am doing. I just want to keep you abreast, Jerry, of the time. It is now, we have 45 minutes here, so you let me know But before you go, would you like to give information out if there's people want to get in touch with you, Jerry?
Yes. I would certainly like to do that. The name of my firm is PCC Technology Group, and our world headquarters is at 2 Barnard Lane, that's B-A-R-N-A-R-D Lane, in Bloomfield, Connecticut, 06002. And my phone number is area code 860-466-7225. That's my direct dial number. It rings right at my desk. My email address is Jerry with a J, J-E-R-R-Y, dot long, L-O-N-G, at pccpg.com. That's jerry.long at pccpg.com. And would welcome any questions or any comments or any criticisms or issues or anything that you can have, because I'm always looking to our new contract. I'm always looking to build new relationships. And as Daphne has said, we are a computer software integration company. We specialize in customized application development. Our company is located here in Bloomfield, Connecticut, and we have about 200 employees.
Wonderful. So, do you still need to cut out at what time?
I need to cut out about 11:30. I've got some folks from, actually, I've got a person from Washington, D.C. coming.
Okay, so we have another 15 minutes before you go, Jerry. So let us, you want to start like summarizing your conversation for today?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I was saying we could probably start have you summarizing your conversation that we've been having, what you want to leave the listeners with and what you want them to concentrate and focus on.
Well, I think
or remember you by.
I think what I would like to be remembered for is that you had said a couple of things about being grounded. You got to be grounded. You got to have support around you when you're starting something, and even when you're running it, you've got to really have a lot of support around you. And you've got to make sure that you value your employees. You've got to make sure you value your customers. And you got to make sure you got a quality product. Those are the three fundamental things I think that's very important in running a business and knowing that you are providing real value to your customer base. Without those things, I think that, you know, we're all kind of fooling ourselves and knowing that this is a real business or it's just something that's just an avocation or something that you're just doing as a hobby on the side or something like that. And I've got a lot of friends or associates or people that I've met who are kind of doing some of those things. They don't really have a value proposition. They can't really articulate what it is that they do in a 30-second conversation. And I think it's very important to get that 30-second conversation down pat where you understand it, you know it, you can repeat it in your sleep. You know that it's what you're doing, but you got to be able to find something passionate that you're passionate about and be able to do what you're passionate about. And fortunately, I knew when I was growing up that I wanted to be in business for myself. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And this is something that has really kind of catapulted me into doing exactly what I want to do. I get up in the morning, I can't wait to go to work. You know, and I know a lot of people get up in the morning, they can't wait not to go to work. But I don't think I can live like that. I mean, I'm at a point in my life now where, you know, I want to be happy doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I was talking to my wife the other night about when are you going to retire? And I'm like, well, I don't think I'm ever going to retire.
Yeah, you can't retire from yourself.
No, I can't retire from myself. And, I'm doing what I want to do right now. So, you know, why retire from that? And I'm being able to impact people the way that I want to impact people, so why retire from that? You know, I get to do what I want to do here again. And like I said, I have been able to, you know, take a few trips and using technology, I'm able to stay in contact with the folks that, that I need to stay in contact with. And it had, like I said, it has not always been that way. You got to really find good people that you can trust, and you got to let them make mistakes. You got to let them do it. You know, even though in this organization, I've done everything in this organization from taking out the garbage to writing a check to going to the bank to doing everything in this organization I've done. So, but you got to be able to let a lot of that go and let other people do it and let them, if they mess up, you just tell them that this is what you need to do as opposed to getting all mad and stuff like that. You got to be able to let people grow and understand that this is the way it should be done. And once I was able to do that, then I was able to start to get away and start to do additional things that I've never been able to do before.
Well, you tell Mrs. Long, tell Mrs. Long she needs to retire so she can be available to go on the many trips when you decide to go.
Well,
but
she already has. So.
Oh, good. So
she already
smart.
Has.
Smart lady.
She is already retired, so
smart.
You know, she retired back in August of last year, and she was a flight attendant for American Airlines, and she, you know, got tired of doing that and wanted to be home. So, and you know, now she's home and she's taking care of mom, and that's a good thing. That's a really good
wonderful. You know, we all have to do what we have to do and what we need to do to just enjoy life. And, you know, just being there to be supportive of our family members and everything. Because, you know, too often, Jerry, I've heard people going on to be with their Savior and their family members who are saying, if I only knew.
Yeah, that's right.
And we all knew, but we weren't really acknowledging what we knew then. So I think this whole conversation here this morning has really affirmed the importance of keeping close check of who we are and what we are about. And regardless of how high we climb and how successful we become, never forget about family. Never forget about the relationships, both of your employees and in our social lives, because those are the things that really keeps us going.
That's right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right there. And, you know, we've got to make sure that, you know, we keep all of those folks as close to us as in our proper care, and make sure that they're comfortable, and make sure that, you know, we continue to do the things that make us all happy.
So we're very in tune to that. Yes. Okay, we have, it's 22 minutes after 11. I want you to just give me your closing statement.
Well, in closing, I would like to thank you, number one, for inviting me to be a participant on this radio show. And it really, you know, gives me great pleasure to be here and to share my story with the audience. And I hope that something I've said will, you know, sort of motivate someone to get out and do something that, you know, really needs to get done, and you know, be able to, you know, continue to get through the kind of challenges and things that people are going through. But here again, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. And it was for me, but, and I knew it was for me because, like I said, I grew up knowing that I didn't want to work for anybody else, or not work for anybody else very long. However, I did put in, you know, 17 years working in corporate America, and now I've been in business now for myself for about 22 years. So it's been a good ride, and I think that everybody has an opportunity to sort of do their own thing if they are passionate about it. And you really have to show passion about it. And you really gotta eat it, breathe it, sleep it every day of your life. You know, I remember way back in the day. I told my wife one time that, you know, I would do this work for free. And she said, well, you are doing it for free.
That's when you know you're an entrepreneur. When regardless of what happened, what you are doing, even if you didn't make a dime doing it, you would still do it with all the enthusiasm and passion and zeal that you have inside of you.
Right,
and
right,
that's
right.
The description of a true, true entrepreneur.
Right, right. And that has been something that has really, you know, helped us and has, you know, really, you know, kept us going and really kind of keeps our mantra pretty straight.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning and just sharing this wealth of information with my listeners and myself. And, you know, we greatly appreciate you coming on and being so generous with your time and not holding back but dispensing valuable information that can help catapult us to the pinnacle that God wants to see us.
I want
to pray you are continued success, and I am just telling you, you ain't getting rid of me.
Well, I know that, and I'm sure that we will see each other very soon.
Yes, and I just want to thank you, Jerry, and down the road, I honestly want to talk to you about, come back and talk, have you talk to us about relationships in business, because I think you are a great person to share that with. I want to thank you, sir, and I pray you God continues success.
Thank you very much, Daphne, and we've certainly enjoyed being able to share some things that we've gone through in this business, and hopefully we've stirred a little bit of conversation among your listeners and stirred a little bit of curiosity among your listeners that the conversation can continue.
Yes, I'm sure you have ignited a lot of energy, because they should be thinking, if Jerry can do it, so can I.
Yes, I can do it. Anybody can do it. It's not rocket science.
That's right. We just have to believe in who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Jerry, and I will be speaking with you real soon.
Thank you very much for having me. Goodbye.
It was a pleasure. Bye, Jerry. Well, I tell you, I was just in conversation with Mr. Jerry Long, and he did deliver. And listen, I had asked you to get your pads and papers in the beginning. And I know that you had just gotten enough information that if you utilize it, it will be equivalent to a bachelor's degree from a college, because Jerry did deliver. So I thank him for coming on this morning. And I had called another gentleman because Jerry has a meeting with someone coming into his HQ from Washington. So he called me early this morning to let me know he had to get off at 11:30 to get ready for that meeting. I did put a call into a friend of mine, and he has a company. He could come on, then he could fill the half an hour slot. But if he can't come on, I will still have a great time here. And I want to just give out some information about my company, Clark Hudson and Associates. We are located at 536 Federal Road in Brookfield, Connecticut. And we are a consulting firm, and we offer telephone coaching, one-on-one coaching. I do quite a few family programs. I do the family credentialing program, which is a curriculum out of Cornell University. I'm also a qualified facilitator for with the Commission on Children doing the Parent Leadership Training Institute. And we are looking at some new clients. So if you are at the point of your life now where you don't know what it is you want to do, give me a call. My number there is 203-546-8210. Or you can shoot me an email at daphne@clarkhudson.com. My website is www.clarkhudson.com, and it is Clark with an E. And I want to ask you to just go on my website, and I am a contributing featured author of the book Conversation on Success, and I'm featured with Dr. Ken Blanchard, and you know Dr. Blanchard is an author, speaker, and business consultant, and I'm also with Diana. I'm also with Diana Bohr. Diana Bohr is a communication expert, author, and speaker. And also T. Boyd is a communication author and speaker as well. So I'm featured in that book with him. So you can pick that up on my website, and of course share with friends. It is candid, insightful, inspirational, and entertaining. So you can pick the book up there. You can pay either by PayPal or with your credit card. So I want you to pick that up, and then, you know, give me a call and let me know what your thoughts are about the book. And also, I want to ask you, when you go on to listen to my show, the A New Day show, I want for you to remember to mark it as a special, as a favorite. And what will happen when you do that is that it reminds you who I will have on as a guest. Who you have on, I have on as a guest, and you can remember to come on and be part of the show. So, again, to do that, when you go on to listen, and every episode that we have ever done is on demand, and you can watch. Listen, excuse me, I say watch because we also have the A New Day cable TV show. And you can just share that with others. Please, by all means, leave me a comment on the, there's a section on the page of the website. And you can leave a comment there. Just let us know what your thoughts are about the show. If you have gotten any valuable information from that, and I will be happy and excited to read that and even get back to you about that. So remember to leave me your remarks there. Occasionally I do offer a sample session of my teleconsulting. So if anybody, there are a lot of individuals who are out there and they are not sure about what coaches do. And if you just call me up at 203-546-8210, I will give you a value coaching session for complimentary. Hey, good morning. Hello, John.
Yes, Daphne.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I'm glad that you got my message because I had an interview on this morning with Jerry Long, and I hope you get some time to listen to it on when you have some downtime. I know this time is your busy season. And when he told me this morning that he could not stay for the duration of the show, I said, I have to call my friend John, because I know you are a business owner too, John, and you would have some valid information that you can share with my listeners. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me to be on. It's a pleasure being on with the world-famous Daphne Clark Hudson.
Oh, well, thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, as a matter of fact, let me tell you a little bit about Jerry Long. As a matter of fact, I have to get you both to meet each other.
Okay.
Jerry is a gentleman in Hartford, Connecticut, a very good friend of mine. I met through Harland Henry. Harland used to work at the Secretary of State's office. He has now relocated to Florida. And Jerry founded a company back in 1988 during the recession, a technology company, and he has now built a phenomenal company. And I just hope you get to be in his presence one of these days. And I know, John, that your story is kind of like Jerry's in some way, because why don't you tell the listeners, John, what you do? Listeners, this is John McGowan.
Okay, well, Daphne, started a family business 3 years ago. It's an oil, mm-hmm. heating oil company, so we're obviously busy during the winter. And during mm-hmm. the summer, it lightens up. But the best advice I could give to listeners, as far as their own personal improvement, is you got to find something that you like to do. And everybody, you know, 20 years, 30 years old, they have a good idea of what they want to do with their lives and what they enjoy doing. But you got to find a way to make money doing what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once
mm-hmm.
you can do that, you'll never work another day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
If you're going to work every day, you're punching the clock, and you got a boss, and you're making money for the boss. But you have
mm-hmm.
to find a way to make money for yourself. And there are two very different things, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And personally, you know, I've always enjoyed being a truck driver.
Yes,
so
yes.
Started the family business for the heating oil, truck driving, and
mm-hmm.
got tired of making money for everybody else, so I decided to start a business with the family, and now we're have the family business of Black Gold Oil. So we service Greater Danbury and New Milford areas, and having a good time doing it. So what type of questions do you get from your listeners? Daphne? Oh.
Yes, I'm here, John.
Oh. Oh,
I just
sorry
had to multitask.
No, that's right. Something I cannot do.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. The reason I said that, hold on a minute. The reason I said that your story was like Jerry's in some way is that Jerry got laid off, or he was working with companies, and he was told that he had to move, and then he was just sick and tired of moving, so he started his own company.
Okay.
And what happened, I remember you were working somewhere else, and you had to think about starting your own company.
Right. Now, I actually worked for probably six different hazardous materials companies before I decided to go out on my own and start the family business. And it
right.
worked out good. So I was able to bring my son into it. He has business experience from his previous
mm-hmm.
job, so he's starting to
uh-huh.
run the oil company now. So it's working out real good.
Good, good. And when you just started your business, John, what was it like? I mean, did you encounter any obstacles?
The biggest obstacle was paperwork, because it had just material, yeah, justifiably so, dealing with the state and all, trying to get all that stuff to go through and lined up properly. That was the most difficult part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the aside from that, the proper advertising to do. And I bring that up because I tell people you can run ads in the newspaper and kind of cross your fingers and hope for the best, but you have to get your name out there if you're going to get started out. Newspaper, television if possible, radio, you need three or four different avenues for people to see on a consistent basis. And also with your advertising, you have to have fun doing it. If you do not have fun with your advertising, your potential customers aren't going to enjoy reading or listening to your ad. And that's a very big part of it. So if you don't have fun making it, your customers aren't going to have fun responding to it. And that's as you know, because I actually, sang the company song to you about a year ago. And we had talked about just that in our church meeting that we were in together.
Recovery,
marketing, and advertising, and all that stuff. So
John, there are some people who are listening and they're thinking, I'm an entrepreneur, I am a small business owner, I don't have money to advertise.
Okay.
What would you tell them?
I would tell them to find an outlet where you can trade off your service for advertising. There's always people out there willing to barter. If you've got customers that want your product and they want it bad enough, they'll find a way to do a barter system with you where you'll be able to get some advertising in advance.
Wonderful.
But when
Wonderful.
I did it, I started out, obviously it was very slow, 2-3 customers a day, and wherever I stopped, that was it. Whenever I stopped my last delivery, I parked the truck, and I got to the nearest center of town, and I just walked up the street door to door, passing out flyers, passing out business cards, told them I was in town. New company in town, and this is what I'm offering.
Why?
Make your price fair, have a good product, be competitive, and you'll succeed, even in hard times like this.
You're just saying something that Jerry had mentioned, too, about the relationships. And here I am listening to you now saying, although you only had 3 customers, you did not let that be a problem.
No.
You did what you had to do, and then you started working on building relationships.
Right. And by doing I've actually had people coming to me to offer their service, people trying to get going. I parted with people to get stuff that I needed. It's just you do what you got to do. And just earlier today, I was able to connect 2 of my customers together who are both slow individually, but as a combination, they're able to do a couple of jobs together. So it's going to work out for them getting work, and then they'll be purchasing my product also. So it works great all around.
Wonderful, wonderful. You have to start sending some people for coaching my way, too.
Okay. Tell me, Daphne, what's the best form of advertising? What's the best form of advertising?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, that's right. There is nothing better than word of mouth. So get out
word
there. Word of mouth is the best way to go. So get out there and start talking about yourself going door to door. Because your mouth is the number one sales object you have.
That's right. And when there's other people that believe and know what you do, because when I meet somebody and I'm telling them about somebody that I do business with, it's because I love and trust and believe in that person. And it is amazing, because Jerry and I was in the conversation prior to you, and we were talking about a gentleman who has an excavation company. And the gentleman has a lot of equipment, but he needs some financing.
Right.
And Jerry went ahead and a banker. And all the gentleman now has to do is to turn up for the appointment. And the man is saying, I'm scared to go because I've never worked with a banker before.
Right.
And
well,
it was interesting to see how people let fear paralyze them. Because he's not looking to say, Jerry already paved the way for him, you know?
Right.
So let me ask you, John, why did you choose the oil business to go into?
Simply because that's what I was familiar with. That is the product I knew. And in
mm-hmm.
actuality, the oil is not really my business that I started. I actually
mm-hmm.
started a new marketing plan for the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
I developed a marketing plan, and the oil just happens to be the product that I'm familiar with. So I took the marketing plan, and I applied the oil to it, but the marketing plan can be adapted by other products and
mm-hmm.
other industries. This is just the route that I took because the oil is what I'm familiar with.
Interesting.
And
so I hope the I'm sorry, go ahead.
And with that, like I was saying earlier, you got to have fun with your advertising, making it. So with the marketing plan,
mm-hmm.
I actually developed a 2.5-3 minute video that explains it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
mm-hmm.
with the oil, I developed the 45-second song that advertises that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put both things up online free of charge.
Now, would you like to sing the song for the listeners?
If you want me to, sure I will.
Of course, go ahead.
Okay. Come on, listen to a story about a man named John, poor local trucker with some brain and a brawn. When one day his boss was in a bad mood, John jumped up saying, I'm out of here, dude. Unemployed, that is. Out of work. Job search. Well, he looked and he scoured and he couldn't find a job, but he didn't want to be another bum in the mob. So he kicked up his heels and began to toil. That's how he started. Black gold oil. Heating oil, that is. Liquid fire. Texas tea. Well, now it's time to call Big John and see that truck of gold. Low prices and great service, he surely will be sold. Call 203-778-6274. Next thing you know, he'll be knocking on your door. Y'all call back, now you're here. Now, the reason I did that was because when I first started the company being called Black Gold,
mm-hmm.
so many people, the first thing out of the mouth be Texas Tea, to play on the old Beverly Hillbillies sitcoms.
Mm.
So that's actually how that got started, was listening to my customers and what they related the company name to was
mm-hmm.
Texas Tea and Beverly Hillbillies, so I wrote my own parody.
So you listened. You see,
yes.
That is what is important, listeners. You have to listen because, you know, there is always so much information and resource around us. And we so busy going that we miss, because if you weren't listening, you would not have know what your customers were connecting you to.
Right. And the way I'm gonna,
John, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The way I'm going to be promoting that is when it eventually gets on air, which will be this winter,
mm-hmm.
the offer with that is going to be you receive $5 off if you sing the song to us when you call in or when the driver's on site.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, you have to give me the words so I can start practice, so I can rehearse so to win, because you know I have a very good vocal. John, I have 11 minutes remaining, but I want for you to, you were mentioning that the listeners could get something offline, the jingle free of cost, you had, what you said, and then I bought in, so I missed that.
Actually, the jingle's not online yet. I'm still working with putting that through production, so that's not up yet. But the video the video for the marketing plan's up online.
Okay, so would you say what the video is, please?
It's the video that explains...
Tell the listeners so they...
Yeah, the video explains the marketing plan that I developed for the industry. Now, it's
uh-huh.
It can be applied to any industry and any product with some variations to it. But if someone's interested in seeing it, they can go. If someone wants to see it, they can go to blackgoldoil.us, and you can find your way through the blackgoldoil.us, and you can find your way to the video.
Okay. And what's your business number if somebody's listening and want to get oil from your company? What's the number to call, John?
Well, if somebody's listening, we deliver only Danbury, New Milford, surrounding areas only in Connecticut.
And tell them the surrounding areas, because you know my show is globally, so we don't want people calling you from Iraq to deliver oil.
No, don't call me from Wyoming telling me you want oil. So the number is 203-778-6274, just like was in the song I just sang to you.
Yeah, and what towns do you deliver in? New Milford, Newtown, Bethel?
New Milford, Newtown, Bethel, Danbury, New Fairfield, Richfield, Reading, Brookfield, Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of outskirts here and there. If somebody's close to the border, that's fine.
Uh-huh. All right. So, for the person who is listening, John, and want to start their own business, what kind of encouragement you would have for them? You have 5 minutes where you can and just tell them something, because people are experiencing challenging times now. A lot of people are experiencing desert, dry times. But
all right.
What would you tell them to encourage them?
So what I would tell them to do is, I'm going to pick up where you left off about 5 or 10 minutes ago. I'm going to pick up where you left off about 5 or 10 minutes ago. Where you had said people let fear get in the way.
Yes.
Okay? Don't let fear get in your way. And your biggest obstacle is going to be family and friends.
That's right.
And people trying to rob you of your dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you start succeeding, you're going to start seeing resistance. People you've known your whole life, because you're making a step forward and they're stuck in stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden
they're
uncomfortable with the relationship from that point on. Do not let anybody rob your dream and what you want to do.
You go
out for it, you fight for it, you take one step at a time, and you keep going forward.
That's right. Right?
If you let anybody rob your dream, the only person to fail you is you. And as always.
That's right.
There's still one person you got to put before your dream, though.
Yeah.
That's God.
That's right. Jerry and I were talking about.
Yep. You keep God first in your life, and He will keep giving you the strength to step forward.
That's right. You have to have things in priority order.
That's right. So that's my biggest step for everyone. Find out how you take what you like to do, find out how to make money doing it, and don't let anybody get in your way.
Yes, and even when nobody else believes in your dream, John, you got to believe in it, because they are well-thinking people, and everybody wants you to get a real job with real benefits and that. But if you know God created you for another reason, then you got to just do what He creates you to do, even when you don't have any support. The guest before you, hold on. I have somebody on here. Let me see if this person have a question for you. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for my guest? Would you say your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Dr. Mills.
Dr. Mills, good morning. Okay, yes, good morning. You're just joining us. We have 6 more minutes on. I am talking now with Mr. John McGowing, and Mr. McGowing is a small business owner out of Bethel, Connecticut, and he's just sharing some of the insights people need to focus on in order to keep their business afloat. So continue, John.
Another thing I would say is, do not be stubborn. You can have the greatest idea in the world. You can go out there. You can implement it. But if you don't listen to the customer's needs,
right.
If you don't openly take suggestions from people that might be willing to help you or circumstances that might help you, you might find yourself having a harder time. So be willing to accept change in your plan to get where you want to go. But don't lose
that's
sight
right.
of where you're
that's
going.
Right.
Don't lose sight of where you want to ultimately end up being.
That's right. That's important. That's important because when times get challenging, you have to be able to pull yourself up by the bootstraps,
right.
you know? Because a lot of times we're going to look around and then we are going to just be the ones who needs the support, and then there's going to be nobody there.
Right, because we're in Connecticut right now. Just give you a quick analogy. You can take two people, they both want to go to California. One person
right.
can go straight there. One person can fly straight there in 5 hours. The next person can take 3 months getting there because they want to see sights along the way. But their ultimate goal is to what? Get to California.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter how you get there.
Know,
just keep your goal in mind.
So long as you know you get there, because some people might decide they want to drive for the scenery, and somebody say, I want to get there quickly, and then I'll enjoy the scenery in California when I get there, so I'm going to fly there. So the important thing is that you know how you're going to get there, because if you don't do that, you won't know when you get to California. You might still be sitting here in Connecticut and thinking, I want to go to California, but because you have no plan about getting into California or how to get there, you still sit down here chasing yourself. So, I want to thank you, John, for calling in. I guess I'll have to have you back on where I can promote you to the listeners. But I thank you for filling the slot, my brother.
Okay. Thank you, Daphne.
And we got to get together and sit down. We have a lot to talk about.
Oh, I know we do.
All right. Well, thank you, and yes,
okay.
You have a blessed day, and continue God's work, John, and continued success in everything that you do. You go, Dr. Mills, do you have a question for John before he leaves?
No.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right,
Thank you for having me as a guest. Godspeed, everybody, and have a good show.
You too, my friend. Thank you
Bye.
So very much.
Thank you.
That was Mr. John McGowan, and he is out of Bethel. And I had left him a voice message, as I mentioned this morning, that when I found out that my guest was not able to stay for the duration, I invited him to take his lunchtime at 11:30 and call in. And he did just that. It just goes to show you the importance of relationships. I want to thank all of you who have listened today, and if you're in the chat room, I apologize that I ignored you, but please come back on next Wednesday when my guest will be Mr. Willie Crawford, and Willie is one of the world's greatest network marketers. And Marsha Petrie-Sue, the Reactor Factor, will be joining us out of Arizona. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying so long. See you next week. And remember, you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. Stay blessed.
What's the plight that you've called me to? the thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
right. Can you call me on my house phone? How many? All right. So I'll talk to you later on then. Because I'm going to be leaving home. All right, bye.